Welcome to Chaotic Harmony. My name is John.
This is Crystal. We talk about the joys and the challenges of teaching music in the elementary school classroom.
We share struggles, we brainstorm solutions.
And we would love to have you join us.
Hello, hello!
Welcome to the Big Three Digits!
Episode 100!
Kind of.
I mean...
This is episode 100.
We're going to do an episode 100 celebration. We'll
later on, but
at an undetermined date.
You know what? Do you want to?
When we get our poop in a group,
yeah, we'll poop. We can do it for the next episode. Uh-huh. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but welcome to episode 100.
Oh my gosh, we did it!
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? If Chaotic Harmony has helped you in some way, could you write us a little something and let us know?
Yeah.
Because we save that stuff.
Yeah.
And we would really love to hear from you if, you know, the things that we've said on this podcast, the silly songs that we do at the end, maybe some of our past guests have said something that have impacted you and your teaching practice. I want to know.
Yeah.
We're going to celebrate those.
Or if you have any clarifying questions, like something we've said in a recent episode, or if you want to actually go dig back and just like, excuse me, episode 14, number a minute 36, you said this thing about dropping I don't know, but it's like, feel free to let us know your thoughts, because you know, like, this has been a six years venture, and like it's been a journey, man.
It has been a journey. We've grown a lot.
We have grown a lot.
Yeah.
Dude,
we figured a lot of stuff out.
Did I still have hair back then? No.
No.
We started 2018.
No, but you could let us know if you prefer the baseball cap or the beanie look for John.
Well, I mean, it's really depending upon like
weather.
This season.
Yeah. It's true. That's true. Hey. Shh.
We're recording, guys.
Yeah. Come on now. I have middle school boys who are gaming. Don't embarrass us, Mom. All right. So anyway.
Hey, watch an upcoming episode about gaming.
Gaming music.
I mean, it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be great.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. We are going to talk today about something that we said we talked about before, but we didn't.
We didn't.
That was my bad. We're talking about backwards planning.
And the importance.
And the importance of performances for elementary music students.
We almost lined up there.
We did. We were getting there.
Yeah, because we talked a lot about informances, which definitely are important. Don't get me wrong. But I think that when we focus so much on informants, I feel like we swing the pendulum too far.
Yeah.
And there's definitely an importance to performances.
You know what? I won't say that you swing the pendulum too far. I think that when we talked about the importance of informances, it's where I was in building my program. Mm-hmm. That's what was doable for me at that time. Now that I've been in my school for 9 years, I have built a program where I can put kids on stage and feel confident about it. They have the musicality and they have the experience to... you know, learn how to be on a stage. And you know, I've been with them more than 1 year. It was so great when I was talking to fifth grade today, and I, you know, we have our be kind, be safe, be responsible thing for Finney, and so I just had a slide that said, what does be kind, be safe, be responsible look like on stage? And so we brainstormed that, and then I was so proud when one of the girls raises her hand and she goes, well, you have to look like you belong, because I'm always telling them that. You have to look like you belong up there. Like, why am I watching you if you're not fun to watch? Right?
I like that. I like that. I do want to add a caveat, because like, it's not like doing informances. If you don't have capacity to do performances, just do an informance. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's just a different stage of...
Sure. I mean, you know what? But I think that capacity is valid. If you're at a school with limited parental involvement and you see 8 classes a day, which I did for a while, or you're at more than one school.
No, definitely.
Right? If you can get an informants together, good for you. And we'll celebrate that.
Yeah.
And so that's just where I was.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a different situation. I'm full time. I've been there for a while. My kids are rocking. And you know what? When you have a full-time music teacher for a few years, I think it's reasonable to expect that the kids are on stage performing.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Do you still do informances?
Do I still do informances? I don't. I've moved away from that.
Why is that? Just curious.
Just because I build in little mini performances all the time. So for awards assemblies, we have kids perform. For morning announcements, kids lead songs. For every little thing that we do, there's something that the kids are doing.
Gotcha.
And it's just, it's kind of for my own sanity as well.
Sure.
It's like, I will put together a display and a performance once a year for each grade level.
Sure.
That's already pretty daunting.
It's funny because I'm actually trying to swing the opposite.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Tell me about that.
I have yet to do it, but I've been doing performance since I started.
Okay.
And so, but that showing the vertical slice of what a class is like is vastly different than having a finalized show of performance for the parents. Like, there is a difference.
There is a difference.
And so it's funny that we're kind of not going in opposite directions, but like we're in different stages to where we want to lean the opposite way.
It's like a Venn diagram that mm-hmm. actually overlaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should watch the video for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Doing like a little,
I'm making a shape.
I'm making negative space.
My head is the middle.
Super. Okay.
I'm so loopy right now.
So
I'm so tired.
But today we're talking about backwards planning and performances. Yes. So mm-hmm. what do you mean exactly? Expound.
Okay. Like, so when you're working on something that you're moving towards, right, mm-hmm. like a final performance, you have to figure out how you're going to get there.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what backwards planning is. Backwards planning is just beginning with the desired result in mind, mm-hmm. right? We have to begin at the beginning mm-hmm. in order, but you have to know where you're going. You know, you can't just pull out of the driveway and start driving if you want to get somewhere. You have to have a plan.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what backwards planning is. It is most simple explanation.
Okay.
So I wanted to say too that there are things that I take from my experience giving informances that I still very much do as part of my normal performances. Like I have the children present something mm-hmm. and it's very formal and there's like scripts and you know all kinds of the things that you would expect from a formal performance, and then we make all the audience members stand up, push their chairs to the perimeter of the room and come learn a dance with everyone. Okay. Cool, that puts them in the learner, active participant seat. And also I do a little audience participation at every concert. And I saw my friend who used to work in the Main Street Band on Disneyland. I think I've said this on the podcast. He came up with this, so I took this from him. He has audiences take out their keys as jingle bells. And so I did that last year while the students were doing Sleigh Ride.
That's cool.
And I had the parents like play along with Sleigh Ride. It was really cute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and I have had them sing Ostinati sometimes as well. So I'll give them a simple line, kind of like what you were saying you might want to do.
Right. With like having the parents participate in the round. Right. Not the whole piece, but just like
just a part
segment.
Of it.
Yeah. And all, okay. You're also talking about like that one part of All I Need by Switchfoot, having them echo back the melismatic O's. Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
Melismatic O's. Dibs on band name.
It's a dorky band name. Shoot.
Melismatic
O's.
That's funny. I like that.
You said something that really caught my eye, though, or my ear. Maybe my eye as well. That's dangerous. You had the students, oh, sorry, the parents participate with the keys.
Yes.
On Sleigh Ride.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It was cool.
So what are other elements, other ways that you've had parents participate?
Stomping to a beat or give them a simple rhythm to stomp, stomp, clap. You know, something that's not threatening.
Sure.
And the reason I still feel like it's really important to do those things is because my parents did not have music when they were in school. We've talked about how California is a whole hot mess when it comes to arts education. And so we have an entire generation of adults in this state who have no idea what a music class looks like or what an art class looks like or drama. Like,
I mean, even me, I didn't grow up with an elementary music class.
I didn't have it when I was in California.
Yeah.
I had it in Alabama and Nevada and in Arizona, but not California. Yep. I had a great music teacher in Arizona.
Shout out.
I still remember her. Yep.
Her name?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I don't remember her name. I was in first grade.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, but come on, California. Get it together.
Come on.
Seriously, we're working on it.
So
we are working on it.
We are working on it.
Actively.
So
back to performances.
Performances. So
yes.
You are trying to find the end goal.
Yeah.
How do you find that conflicts, but how do you find that pushes against the ORF approach of exploring? How do you navigate this element of you want to teach an idea, you want the kids to explore with it, but you also need to have an end goal in sight. So how do you backwards plan and also allow the kids to explore
I don't think that they're opposed to each other at all.
Do you ever find it where an exploration ends up somewhere else that you did not plan for it to go?
And oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think there's a difference between, this is the difference between band, right? And ORF. Band, you pull out a piece of music that somebody's already written and you learn the notes you'll probably sound pretty good. You know, I loved band. But ORF, you start with a seed of an idea, yeah, and you know that you want to end up with a rondo, but you have no idea what the B section, C section, whatever, is going to sound like.
Abacaba.
Abaca. You have no idea except the A section, right? And so you've got to do a lot of creating there. So that's the difference. It's like you might not know specifically step by step, like the kids are going to do these dance moves because they're going to make it up. Mm-hmm. The kids are going to say this. And sure, sometimes I have things that go in a completely opposite direction. I'm presenting Canon 19 from Kate Mon, the dun 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 dun. We do it haunted house style. So what was that noise? What was that noise? What was that noise? It's really frightening. It's super cute and they're really into it. They're doing shadow puppets. You're a dork. We're doing shadow puppets with it this year. Cool. So they came up with like haunted house ideas and monsters. And there is a fantastic video on the Kennedy Center's website for it's by Sam Gold, who's a puppeteer. And I took a workshop with him. He's actually from San Diego. I don't think he lives here anymore, but he's from here. So he is a puppeteer, a professional puppeteer. Mm-hmm. And he, it's a 10-minute video and it talks about the history of shadow puppets. And then he makes a shadow puppet and shows how to tell a story with it using perspective, scale, and movement. It's so good.
Ooh.
It's really good. You guys should get into it. And I saved a projector, an overhead projector, like the old school ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saved one from the dump run. Like at school, it was like in a pile and I'm like, I want that.
I need that.
I will be using that. And the kids think it's the coolest thing they've ever seen. They're like, what is
this? What is that?
Where do I get one? It's like 1988.
I feel like that'll be a very small vertical slice of educational history.
Projectors. The overhead projector.
Because well, like,
it was such an important part of my schooling.
What do you call transparencies?
Mm-hmm.
The transparency and like the whole writing on it.
It's yes.
Like, I got dot cams.
The water. Like, I still have some water-based markers. I have a whole stack of transparency paper that's printable that like, I don't want to get rid of it because I feel like I can use it for something.
But what do you do? Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to throw it away.
That's our spiccato right there.
There you go. Shoot. I would use transparency paper at a later date.
Maybe our AOSA spiccato. What are you supposed to do with this?
Did you submit that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
There you go. Stay tuned on that
Stay
one.
Stay tuned.
Don't hold your breath.
Hold the paper instead.
Maybe so. We'll just commandeer a conference room.
Get out of here. You've been here for 4 sessions. Come on.
No, we won't do that.
We know dancing.
That was a joke. We're not going to do it.
What was it?
Okay, anyway, back to backwards planning.
We do not backwards plan this.
So for me, backwards planning is just like we're going to produce something that is put on stageable, okay,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
To use the academic vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And the kids know that. They know that there is an expectation that there's a performance coming up. So mm-hmm. that helps. It really helps them be motivated because they're like, oh, I have to take this seriously because I'm going to show my parents. And for that be kind, be safe, be responsible, I said, you know, it's really kind to your audience if you get on stage and you do your absolute best because your families are coming to watch you. They're taking off work to come and watch you. So you want to make sure that you are fun to watch and do something that you can be proud of and that they can be proud of for you, you know?
I wish I remember who said this. Because we've talked before a couple times about performance or showcase, at least, is the missing link of the 4-part.
Yeah.
ORF.
The process.
Process, yes. Yeah. But someone else mentioned recently, and we were talking about like the performance being on the next episode docket. I was like, this would be perfect. I forget who it was, and I apologize. If you remember who it is, let me know. Like, someone mentioned that performance ought to be a reflection of joy.
Oh, yes.
It ought to be, but specifically the reflection of joy of what the students have learned.
Yes. I love that.
And I wish I remember who said it.
We're going to dig it up.
Yeah, we're going to dig it up.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the show notes. But like, because, yeah, like we want the kids, it shouldn't just be a labor of like, oh, Mr. Seligman wanted us to sing this song. You don't want that. It's it's supposed to be a showcase, not just that there's skill. And I think that's the thing. People often think that performances should be showcasing what they've learned over the years. They've learned about eighth notes. They learn about, you know, singing do to do and playing do to whatever. And that's important, but it should also be a showcase of the joy of what they've learned.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Mm. I tell my students all the time that I really take pride in my ensembles being fun to watch on stage. And I hear it after every concert. That was fun to watch. I mean, I'm always true. Looking for that quote. Yes.
Each time you brought your ORF group to the VAPA Festival, Chula Vista VAPA Festival, it's like, that was very engaging.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I tell them, like, you know, you're putting on a show. This isn't just you concentrating. You don't want to look grouchy because you have a concentrated face. And I'm so bad about that.
Like, how do you
when
prod
I play
them?
Instruments, I show them. I show them, like, this is what I'm seeing. And then I'll put on that face, right? And then, so I just did it in fifth grade today. And they were, there's a song that we're working on that ends with a hey and then hands up. And and they were being like, really, hey, like, really, really lame about it. And I was like, you guys, why would a family member come and want to see that on stage when you have no enthusiasm? You're not selling it. And I was like, how does this look? And this little girl's like, that's super cringy. I'm like, yes, I agree. That's super cringy. Do you want them to internally cringe and have secondhand cringe?
At this point, we might as well just dab.
With, you know. I was like, it's not Sigma. It's not demure. You know, just embrace it. My kids are telling me to shut up.
Should we have a mic for them?
This is my commentary. Podcast, okay? but I told them, you know, you want to be fun to watch and the audience will absorb your energy. Yep. And so this is a fun song. I want you to give me like a wave of happiness. Mm. And I pointed two of the girls out with a big smile. I said, that was like a beacon in the darkness. Those giant bright smiles. I want beaming smiles from everybody. And they totally did it. Mm. All 30 of them. They did it. Yeah. You know, and then they stuck their hands in the air and they didn't move. They froze at the end. And I was like, yes. And it feels good, right? Yeah. Like it actually moves energy.
I like you're focusing a lot on the emotional element.
Yes. And that's kind of my shtick.
Well, yes. Yeah. And it definitely is. Don't get me wrong. But I think when you read the word performance on a title card, you think about skill. And again, I remember like one of my feeder schools performing groups, which I'll not give any more details about. Their former ensemble director was very much, they were very polished.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they sang an African spiritual. I remember my colleague, because his kid was in my choir, I said, wow, that was the whitest spiritual ever. It's like, it's just because there was a lot, even though that wasn't intentional, it just was a lack of joy. There was a lack of emotion to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh. So yeah, I'm glad like you really focus in on this like elementary school level of emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're kids. They should have fun. They should present like kids.
They should.
And they need to go up on stage and they need to be themselves, you know? I use Sister Act 2 as my teaching guide, honestly. Like, we're going to go out there on stage. We're going to go out there looking like us. And they take off the choir robes. Like, who are we trying to imitate? We're just going to be our quirky selves, you know?
Imitate Skibidi Toilet.
Okay, now I draw the line at Skibidi Toilet.
They're lines. Yeah, it's hard. But, it's
so
important
to
still.
The end goal for me is having a performance that showcases what they actually learned, but also that's really, really fun. Because the parents are going to be passionate about supporting a program that brings their child joy, you know? And that's the kind of thing you tell your family about around the dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, we had so much fun in music today, and we learned about how to make our audience feel happy, right? Yes, that's a cool thing. Everybody loves making somebody else laugh or, you know, smile. Like, that that feels great.
Like, just finding the parallel, because unfortunately, again, California is not the strongest in the arts education. So I think about sports, because sports is not the strongest California compared to other states, but, like, it still is bigger than...
It's more valued.
It's more valued. And so, like, similarly, the parallel is, even though you think about the wins and losses, you don't remember the wins and losses. You don't remember that you won. You remember you hit that ball so far, and like it lands just before the fence, but you were able to run all the way to do a inside the park home run, and like you beat that.
Your moment of glory.
Your moment of glory. Yes. But no, are you going to remember the score? No.
No.
And similarly, like, you're not going to remember the fact that you hit every single note correctly.
Right.
That's not important. The fact is that you're showcasing to these parents that, like, it was filled.
Oh, I tell the kids all the time, if you look happy, it doesn't matter if you hit a wrong note once in a while. You know, if you look like you're having a good time up there and that you know what you're doing, then everybody's going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sell it.
The parents don't have scores they're following.
No.
Jason, that's measure 42. What are you doing there? It was a C sharp, not a C.
So to come back to backwards planning, I pulled a quote from the Music Play blog that I really liked. When you begin with the end in mind, your lesson plans and activities will naturally guide your students toward being prepared for their final performance. Basically, when you're backwards planning, you know, I want to go here. And then your lesson planning falls into place really nicely because it's like, well, I know it's going to take two class periods for them to learn all the lyrics to this song. It's going to take three for them to learn the movement. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to take another class period to really refine it and get the phrasing correct. And maybe another one to pick solos. And then we got to practice putting it on stage for at least two class periods. So, you know, you're looking at six class periods, right, to teach one song. Mm-hmm. And so that plans out your quarter really fast. It actually saves me a ton of time when I go in wondering, like, okay, so I've got this ORF piece, right? Like my little drum song, the shaker song that I talked about in the last episode. Mm-hmm. We've been working on that now for 6 weeks. The first couple of weeks, we just sang the song. And actually, we just chanted the lyrics with a drum.
Okay.
And so that was a little hand drum activity. Did it for a couple minutes and we're done. Now they know all the words. Then we add the lyrics. Then we had a little class discussion about the grown-ups that we find inspiring. Then we put the grown-ups' names in. Then what does that person, you know, emulate? Or what do they exude that you want to emulate? And I use those words with kids. Exude. I like using big words with kids. I want to build their vocabularies.
Definitely.
And I write them on the board. And so, like, when I say that, when I say, like, exude, ooh, exude is a good word, I'll write it on the board and, you know, define it.
Gotcha.
And then I'll tell them if I catch you using that word later this week, I'll give you a sticker. They're really into it. It's super fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's your roadmap, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, it really guides your instruction. And I'm a firm believer that your performances need to be a direct reflection of what actually happens in your classroom. I'm not going to put together a special musical for fifth grade. I don't have time for that.
Gotcha.
Right? Yeah. We're not going to deviate from, like, the standards that we need to hit because I'm supposed to have a winter show. So I need to come up with something about Frosty the Snowman or whatever. Right?
Gotcha. Yeah. So you're not going to pull a piece of music that last minute you just throw it in because you know they can win it. They can do it and it will make the parents smiley face of a bit. But it's not a reflection of what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And I'm not going to change my entire like sequence of how I teach and the content because we have to have this show. So I'm not going to be teaching Christmas music in August, mostly because I just don't want to. Right?
But then again, Sleigh Ride was written in the summer. So
yeah, I know, but I don't want to hear it in the summer. No, that's fair.
Yeah, man. Those who like listening to Christmas music 24/7, it's like,
the weirdos? Come on.
Dude, it was something. It.
There is a time and a place. You can come at me on that one.
And this is stopping more. Yeah, no, I get you there. Yeah, it should be seasonal adjustments because the kids get tired of it.
Yeah.
And also, you want to follow the season for the with the kids. They have, again, joy.
Yeah.
Joie.
Right.
So
I also think, and this is kind of another piece of the performance puzzle, right? I think that if a school has a full-time music teacher, you should be able to easily have performances that just naturally happen. My students always know at least one new song a month, and they can go on stage and sing that one little song a month at any time. And I start with something simple on the xylophone so that there's always a xylophone piece ready to go. My littles have a movement piece or they can play Egg Shakers to a steady beat or Sticks and follow along. We can have a little performance for principal coffee chats or whatever, anytime, you know? Like I said, our awards assemblies.
Yeah.
I think that that's a reasonable expectation. And it's also built in advocacy for your program when that is important.
But then that takes planning so that you are giving them pea-sized meals.
Right.
Like you're not giving them
You have to be intentional about it. that the idea that I had that I would need to have kids perform at things was really overwhelming to me when I was first hired in this district. And Lauren Shelton mm-hmm. told us the best way to get advocacy is to make sure that at every single school event there is a performance. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a massive expectation, you know?
But it's doable if your expectation is smaller.
It's if your expectation is smaller and if your process is well sequenced, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like my kids probably have a repertoire of 50 songs at this point, from about third to sixth grade, where they could pull those songs out and sing them with a fair amount of confidence mm-hmm. whenever mm-hmm. they needed to, because we sing all the same songs yeah. as a school yeah. community. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's important.
I like your approach also, like not everyone does it, but having all the kids do the same literature.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that's really cool. Like,
it builds culture.
It builds culture, and you shared it, and like, it definitely stuck with me. Then also when I was doing Sasha's session, I mentioned last episode.
Yeah.
As I was reading her script, as she was typing, she was sharing the importance of that, and just like mm-hmm. of like making sure that the siblings are talking to each other and like they're yeah. sharing. Yes. Each other. And I was like, you know,
yeah, they play cool. the clapping games with each other. They sing the songs with each other. Yep. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's powerful. So
yeah. Yeah, one of my little kids was telling me that she played a music class game with her family. Like, she got them to play Charlie Over the Ocean with her, which I thought was so cute. Yeah.
For me,
Good job, Mom and Dad.
I was doing it more so, like, when an older sibling was hearing a younger sibling sing the song, I was like, oh, I remember that song. And I think there is some power in that as well. But mm-hmm. I definitely see the value of doing the same thing together. And then also, as you mentioned, you then have a repertoire of, like, 20,000 songs by sixth grade.
Yeah, 20, exactly, right, mm-hmm. exactly. It's really important, I will say this, mm-hmm. that you know your student's comfortable vocal range. I see a lot of teachers who try to use karaoke tracks or something in a key or teach a song in a key that's not comfortable for a child's voice. They're not going to sing out if it's not comfortable. If the song is a narrow enough range and it's in that comfort spot for mm-hmm. their little voices, they'll be engaged and they'll be able to focus more on the fun part instead of right. like getting self-conscious about it being too low, which is usually what it is when I see some teachers doing that. So yeah, make sure that it's in a comfortable singing range.
Right.
That matters.
I recognize that we've talked about this since the beginning of time.
Yeah, yeah,
I recognize the value of minus one tracks, but also that's the reason why I love just playing live with them, because like, oh, mm-hmm. this ain't working. Let's change it up.
Sure.
Like, unless you like can transpose on the fly on a minus one track. It's like, you gotta know the kid's range. Otherwise, like mm-hmm. once you hit play and they start singing, oh, this isn't working. Well, I guess I'm kind of stuck here. But you don't want that. You don't want that. So
I grew up singing solos in church to my tapes, you know, my little performance track tapes. And we always seemed to go to, my dad took these little churches that didn't have a very big congregation. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of musicians at those churches.
Sure.
And so it was, my parents are both vocalists and they each play a string instrument, but their comfort, you know, zone is really, you know, singing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so they had no qualms about it. And I thought it was kind of weird when I first started teaching that there were so many teachers that didn't like the idea of using performance tracks. I was like, what? Like, I can't afford a band. Like, I can play this track sure. and it's going to be a professional quality backtrack. It's going to be in the right key for my kids and it's going to sound way better than if I, you know, play on a guitar. But I mean, I can see both sides of it because there is a different energy to live music.
Oh yeah. And just feeding off of each other kind of thing. But also,
right.
are there really more, do you say there's more people, at least in Chula Vista, that do minus one track as they do?
I don't know about that.
Felt like more people did the minus one tracks than
I mean there's so many out there. There's sure, like true. Music K-8 has so many yeah. of them and and they're just one that's just the one that popped into my head right now, but I've certainly bought my fair share of musicals over sure, the years sure. Yeah, I'm a singer first and foremost sure. and I think that's just my perspective. So I think that it's important to make sure that you've always got something that the kids can do with confidence. And that might mean that what you put on stage is not the most difficult thing, but usually your parents don't know anyway, right?
It's true. Well, again, it's not the technicality we're looking for. It's not the, I want to say the emotion, but it's more than just playing to the level of what you, the teacher, who's experienced, you know, university level musicianship. You don't need that. It's like, yeah. Just give them what they got.
Right. Yeah. Right. When kids understand how to present themselves mm-hmm. on stage, it really is transformative and transferable to so many other aspects of their lives. And I want my students to be able to go up on stage and be well spoken. You know, to know how to present themselves, to put their shoulders back, to make eye contact mm-hmm. with the audience. I was so proud to see so many of my kids give their student ASB speeches for, like, you know, president and secretary yeah. this mm-hmm. year, right? And they went up and they just took the microphone off the stand and they walked around the stage like them. They owned it. I was like, yes. Oh,
man. I don't know if I mentioned, no, I didn't. I was really sad. There was one student of mine. He's a really good kid. He had a speech memorized. And he really did not want to be behind the podium. But they placed the podium for everyone else and wanted, you know, some sort of like anger. And instead of taking the clip off and walking out, he just like, it's there. And it's like, he would have won. Yeah. I feel like he would have won if he actually, he knew his speech. He wouldn't have, I guess, if he just went for it. Like, I think he would have won. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah. Learning how to connect with an audience, though, in real time, mm-hmm. that's important.
It is important.
Yeah. Learning how to engage a room. And our society is so, like, down and in your little screen now, right? And our kids are doing that from the mm-hmm. age, I think, younger and younger ages now, like, absorbed in their phones. The learning, shoulders back, face forward, eye contact with people in real time. And just knowing that they're getting ready to put something on stage really increases their awareness of the other people around them in the room. And I think that it increases their compassion. Their connectivity, because they're like, oh, I have to be on stage with these guys. We're all scared. When we talk about getting on stage, it sparks a conversation about being scared. And we can do hard things. We can do that. Yeah. I remember talking about the importance of performances when we were presenting at Butler a couple of summers ago. Yeah. And one of the college students said... when I made the point about, I think that you should always have some sort of presentation or performance at the end.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he said, is that healthy? And I was like, that's so interesting that that's how you're framing it. Mm-hmm. Is it healthy? I would say yes, because I think that if somebody can learn how to engage with another person and share with another person, that absolutely is healthy. And I think that if you can be acknowledged for doing something, you know, like playing a song or singing a song in front of an audience, it's a huge confidence boost.
It's a confidence boost for yourself and also, as we mentioned, of course, for the program itself. But like, yeah, I'm trying to think what would be the opposite or what would be the drawbacks of having performance?
Yeah, that's what I asked him. I asked him, what do you think the drawbacks would be? And he said that he talked about stage fright and crippling anxiety.
Yeah.
And we were so fresh off the pandemic.
We were. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 years after.
Yeah, it was real recent. And so I can see that. Like sure. That first VAPA showcase, the VAPA festival. That's what I'm looking for. When you came in and you videoed my students.
Yeah.
They were shaking. There was a girl.
I remember that. Yep.
She had to go in the hallway and calm down.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that was just where he was coming from.
Where he was coming from.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to think, like, as far as performances go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find? When did you start pivoting towards focusing more on performances? Have you begun this already? Mm. Or, like... is this a new thing past X amount of years? What?
Honestly, based on a couple of things. Based on my acceptance in the community as a true member of the team. And parents giving me feedback that that's what they really wanted. They wanted the video of their kid on stage performing and doing a thing. You know, they go to an arts school. They vote as part of the school site council to mm-hmm. fund the music and art program. They want to see the walls full of colorful pictures. They want to hear the beautiful sound of children singing.
Right.
And so I got to give the people what they want, you know?
That's true.
And honestly, student performances create a strong connection between the school and the community. It really is a bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they're doing really beautiful things there. And so that's something that we want to be a part of. And it shows the parents the value of the program. So it's important.
So you have this for your general music classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have students that opt out? Do you like, is it required? Like,
it's required, and it's during the school day. Mm-hmm. So I invite the parents. The way I assign jobs is they choose, the students choose. So I tell them, you have to pick something. You have to decide on each of these songs. Am I going to play a boomwhacker, do movement, mm-hmm. control the shadow puppets, work on lighting, play a xylophone? Do I want to be a singer? And then I have extra signups too, like who's going to be an announcer for me? And then I'll write a script for them. And then something I added this year, I have more and more kids now who are taking music lessons outside of school. And so I've told them, cool. if you want to do a special performance, like play an ukulele or a guitar mm-hmm. or play the piano for the audience, we would love to have that. So they're signing up for that as well.
Have you ever had students that just don't show up?
I feel like that happened earlier, mm-hmm. But yeah. it's not as big of a thing
anymore.
And I had a conversation with a child today yeah. who's really grown a lot. He gave me a real run for my money for a couple of years. And he said in front of the class, I think trying to be cool, well, what if I'm sick that day? And so later I pulled him aside and I said, hey, you know what? You're not going to be sick that day because you're not a coward. You're brave. You're going to get up there on that stage and you're going to do something that scares you. And it's going to make you feel really good. And really proud. And your mom, and I know his mom, your mom is going to be so proud that you did something that scared you. And he goes, okay. You know? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can do hard things.
We can do hard things. But we need to make sure that we have that connection with the students.
Yes. And I have a really solid relationship with him. And yeah. so I would never say something like that to a child that I haven't known as well as I know this particular one. So I knew that that language would be powerful for him mm-hmm. and it wouldn't be an insult. I knew that he would take it as motivating, you know? So that's, you have to know your students and you have to know their families and you have to know, like, that's having a high quotient of emotional intelligence in your leadership role.
And you got to work with the students.
You do.
It's not just knowing, but also being active in that. That's an active knowing.
That's right. That's right. Well, and letting them know. I love that. I love that John F. Kennedy quote about when he's talking about going to the moon, right? Mm. Why? And they ask us, why go to the moon? And I say, why climb the highest mountain? Or then he lists all the hard things, right? And he says, we choose to go to the moon and do these other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Good script. Good when speeches were solid.
I think there's a fair amount of solid ones. It's just breaking through the noise.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have a lot more speeches to think. We have a lot more, we hear a lot more
nowadays. Yeah. So. Yeah. I think another thing that's important with backwards planning is having regular benchmarks that you meet for yourself so that mm-hmm. you know that you're on track.
Yeah.
So for me that looks like we walk to the stage and we put something on stage and the kids go, oh, shoot. We got work to do on this one. Gotcha. This ain't a music room, right?
Right.
Yeah, this feels different.
And also, it seems like also a big part is that you got to be organized.
Yeah.
You got to take notes. How often do you take notes of how far they progressed or if they met a benchmark, they didn't meet a benchmark? How like frequent is your note taking?
How frequent is my note taking on like what the next step is?
Did they meet X or did they not meet X? As far as like, again,
I mean, that's after every class I just write a little something down because I teach 17 classes. I forget stuff. I got a whole week to forget what Mrs. Wynn's class did. You know?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah. Oh, that's right. We really bombed that song. I better do it again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Hmm. Cool. What about you?
As far as what?
Like writing notes about what you need to take care of.
Oh man, it's hard. It's really hard. And like,
cause there's no transition time.
That's the big, I mean, for my music classes, I have a little more leeway, mm-hmm. but for when it's during collaboration weeks, it's difficult. But like, and tough. So, I mean, I'll be honest. Sometimes I ask the students, hey, do we do this?
Yeah. Oh, I've done that all the time. Yeah.
I want to be better. I'm trying to find ways to be better. I'm trying, but it's just, I don't know. What is it? Do I need a better, do I need a device that is easier for me to take notes on? Do I need, like, what do I need? And I have not found the answer for that yet.
Yeah, I don't have the perfect solution for that one either. Sometimes it's sticky notes. Sometimes it's, I don't know.
And this is the first time I'm actually having my general ed students perform since I did it my first couple years. Mm. Since the third year, a lot of my students that were performing were in my performing groups, my bands, my choir. This year, we're finally having it to where we are having the general ed classes not perform for their parents, but they are performing for their buddies.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yes. If we have room in the audience, we like to have the buddy class come as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's so sweet.
We want to, yeah, so we want to have parents, but yes, we will have the camera recording so that, you know, parents can watch afterwards.
Yes. Yes.
But this is our first time doing it, and so we'll see. It's going to be in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So it will already be done by the time this is released. But
we'll give you an update.
We'll give you an update eventually someday.
Yeah.
Episode 100X. But it's going to be interesting because, like, you know, they're all at different levels.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm still navigating this new area and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's not an informant. It's not there yet, but it's a showcase to other students what's happening, not just the parents.
Mm-hmm. So it's a step.
Step.
Yeah. I like it. I like how Mark used to encourage us to try one new thing a year.
Try one, yeah.
That's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make one small change. So let me encourage you listeners to start backwards planning and let me know how it goes in your curriculum and in your performances. Do you give performances? If you don't, would you consider trying to do a little baby step performance, maybe like Jonathan does? Is that something that's just not part of your day at all? Do you really not think that performances are worth the time and the stress? And if that's you, I want to hear from you too.
Who do you have perform? What kind of kids perform? Is it just certain cohorts, just in grade levels, just performing groups?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. I'm curious. If I ever went back to teaching at more than one school and having more than 400 kids, I wouldn't do them either. So
it'd be very challenging.
It would be very challenging. Yeah. That's just not worth the stress.
Just doing it both schools. So.
Since I can see them once a week, you know, and we're a small school, I feel like it's doable. So, yeah, I'm curious. What do you think?
What do you think?
What do you think?
And what do you think about Spiccato?
I think that I've got one for us.
After the break.
All right. I want to take a quick break and thank my husband, Brian, who's been working behind the scenes producing these episodes every week on all of the platforms and on time. But you need to know that he is first a financial planner for Mission Trails Financial. Mission Trails Financial is a partner that seeks to guide clients in the journey to financial success. They believe that people need a financial advisor that aims to provide strategies for success. Mission Trails Financial helps people navigate investments, tax planning, and insurance. Imagine working with an advisor who isn't tied to specific brands. Mission Trails Financial has a fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interests of their clients by providing independent, objective advice. Their mission is to help clients accomplish their financial goals. As Joe Vitale once said, a goal should scare you a little and excite you a lot. Do yourself a favor and set up a time to chat with Mission Trails Financial. Visit www.missiontrailsfinancial.com or call 619-419-0238 to schedule a call. You'll be glad you did. We believe that leaning on professionals is how we get ahead. Check out the program notes for more information.
Welcome back to Chaotic Harmony, but before the Spiccato. Thank you, everyone. 100 episodes. It's so cool.
That's so cool.
It's we've reached that 3-digit. And thank you for everyone who's joined us since episode 0 with Lauren or since today.
Yeah.
But to make sure that we keep on going, because we have two busy, full jobs. We talked about performances on both ends. My goodness.
Yes. Tell your friends, first of all.
First off, tell your friends about...
This podcast is real niche. Uh-huh. Like, this is for a very specific subset of humanity. Yeah. So, if you know somebody who would listen to this and go like, oh my gosh, they are talking to me.
Share it.
Share it.
Spread the wealth. Spread the love.
Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is also, if you have a little more to spread... You can go to patreon.com/chclassroom. That makes sure that these things are rolling still, continuing to help us out. We have merch there. We have also lesson ideas. We have some poster stuff. And feel free to also let us know what you would want from a for us to add on to it. But if you can't spare us a buck, that's okay. This podcast is meant to be free and accessible to all. But it would not hurt you to hit that like on all the stuff and leave us a review. 5 stars is the only number I know. So just saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
So do that same thing and go to youtube.com/@ch-class. Like and subscribe there.
I have my Spiccato.
Spiccato.
It's wrapping paper.
Wrapping paper.
Wrapping paper. So okay. What would you do with wrapping paper?
Wrapping paper.
I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
Wrapping. Other than mummifying kids.
I mean, seriously though.
Were you ever part of that whole toilet paper mummy? Like some people like the whole toilet paper mummy run.
I mean, so I've done many bridal showers where you have to make like a wedding dress out of a roll of toilet paper.
Oh, okay.
And then you have a fashion show. It's a super fun game.
Cute.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you like the A tier? Like what? Like how did you fare on that?
I mean, it's usually timed, so they're not exactly like. It's funny.
Looking for the right crease. Usually spray a little water here.
Mimosa or two as well. So I mean, they're supposed to be silly. It's a bridal shower.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with wrapping paper? I feel like this would be wrapped around cardboard and doing something with it, or maybe like having created a die. My first thought is going towards grabbing cardboard, plastering it with different pieces of different approaches of wrapping paper.
Okay.
So different colors, different stuff.
Okay.
And then I don't know what you do with the dye. Do a dye and then like what it lands on, you have to evoke what it's being shown. Maybe it was like a piece of your body is moving to that shape. Like right now, if you're an audio listener, this is a blue-green feather-ish kind of thing. So maybe
with
like,
metallic accents.
With metallic accents.
It's just the first piece of wrapping paper I pulled out of the wrapping paper drawer.
I don't know. How would you move to this? What would you make out of this? It feels very feathery, like very. Like,
so you would just look at the patterns on the paper and then have the students come up with some sort of movement story to go with it.
Either movement or another thing you could do is soundscape.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. So how would you evoke that?
Ooh, feel? A pile of feathers. What would that sound like? How would you make that?
I would grab the sleigh bells and I'm also using like if I had a sweater.
Oh, like I like that.
So having the
or sandpaper scrapers.
That's
maybe.
It's a little more coarse, but that would work. True. Yeah. So you place it around a die or around like cardboard, and then roll it, and then
that's a fun creative process. Yeah.
Or instead of die, just get in groups, give them each different kinds of paper. I think that's my approach.
I have when I've changed my centers for second grade, I've wrapped them up and let them unwrap them.
Ooh,
they love that.
That's fun.
It's a present. What kid doesn't love tearing into wrapping paper?
There's only one thing better than that.
What's that?
Bubble wrap.
It's true.
The thing is, is it just me? Has bubble wrap like become less?
You need you some German bubble wrap. That's some good stuff.
Okay.
Those Studio 49 instruments come wrapped in some good bubble wrap.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. It was really great when my 12-year-old was gaming and I put it on the floor behind him and then I jumped on it. He loved that. Didn't you, Parker? Huh? Okay, never mind.
Bubble wrap. What would you do? Listener,
would you do with it? I mean, sound effects, obviously.
Obviously sound effects, but I feel like it's... Yeah, it could be...
You could create wind and then movement, like react to it.
Or, I mean, we're now... Past it, but like before fall break, grab the wrapping paper and just like fan yourself
because it's because you're dying in a heat wave. Yes, that too.
Because sometimes the air conditioning does not work. So, yeah.
Okay, we have a round of the week.
I have an idea, by the way.
What is it?
What would you? How? For maybe not a Patreon, but for like, for maybe we'd have like a 1 month where people. Instead of hearing Crystal's lovely voice sing round of the week, having someone else do it.
Their
own interpretation.
Do it. We will 100% drop that in. Give us your best operatic round of the week.
Or just your interpretation. This doesn't mean operatic.
Oh, okay. Like,
round of the week.
Maybe not that. I would so be okay with that. Or the spiccato, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Give us some bumpers.
Yeah. We'll put something out there.
We'll drop them in.
We want you to be part of this.
I like that. Yes, we do. Also, if you want to send us around your lovely voice singing around.
We'd play it.
We totally would play it.
And then we'd round on it.
We absolutely would. Make it so. This is the way. Round of the week. All right, this is Little Tom Tinker. It is a folk song, and it's super fun, although I do have some questions. But we'll get there later.
In a bit, yeah.
Little Tom Tinker got burned by a clinker and he began to cry. Ma, ma, what a poor fellow am I.
Do it once again, because I really butchered that on my
own. Little Tom Tinker got burned by a clinker and he began to cry. Ma, ma, what a poor fellow am I. Little Tom Tinker got burned by a clinker, and he began to cry. Mama, what a poor fellow am I. Little Tom Tinker got burned by a clinker, and he began to cry. Mama, what a poor fellow am I. You're such a... like attention
it's a
human. What is a clinker and why does it burn him? That's what I want to know.
Little Tom Tinker got burned by a clinker. Is that like a clinker?
I don't know what a clinker is.
I feel like just because it's Tom Tinker, I feel like this is like a what is a clinker?
I don't know what a clinker is.
Okay. Sometimes these sites, you just put folk song. That does not help.
It's really not helpful at all.
What folk song? What culture?
I don't know. I think maybe, what is a tinker? I think maybe that's the problem. Well, a tinker, wouldn't that be somebody who like makes stuff? Like an inventor. So they like to tinker with things. So anyway, if you know the answer to that, if you know what a clinker is, then tell me. Or if you just have a theory.
I wonder if it's something that helps weld or helps like smith. It's already heated already? A piece of metal is heated?
It's possible.
My thought.
Okay.
What's your interpretation?
What's your theory? Think no like knows. Full on balderdash style, right? Yeah. Did we ever play balderdash?
No.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so much fun. Okay, I challenge you.
You challenge me to what?
I challenge you to Boulder Dash.
Okay.
Bring your partner over. We'll have a game night. It'll be great.
Okay.
All right. All right, you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so
much. You're the best.
And thank you for being part of this 100th episode. But you don't keep your eyes out for the socials. And also, let us know if there's a better way to interact with us other than socials so we can send you this cool stuff.
Yeah.
We really want to hear from you when we celebrate our 100th episode.
Yes, we do.
So maybe they can tell you. Where can they tell you?
They can tell me if you reach out to me on socials at Mrs.Pridmore on Instagram. Mm-hmm. My website's crystalpridmore.com.
And you can tell her what you really appreciate about Chaotic Harmony when we do celebrate. Or you can tell me at Mr. Seligman, okay. MrSeligman on all the socials. Go to johnseligman.com. And then also you can tell us at CH Classroom. We're there on really just Instagram nowadays. And Facebook.
It's true.
So do that. And you can also email us at chaoticharmonyclassroom@gmail.com. Thank you so much for being a part of this. We love
you
all.
You're the best. We love you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. The Chaotic Harmony Podcast is a joint project between Crystal Pridmore and Jonathan Seligman. You can find us online at chaoticharmonyclassroom.com. You can email us at chaoticharmonyclassroom@gmail.com and let us know what you think. Give us feedback about what you would like to hear in future episodes. We're on all the socials. Find us on facebook.com/chaoticharmonyclassroom. You can find us on Twitter at chclassroom, Instagram at chaoticharmonyclassroom, and you can even find our episodes on YouTube. Chaotic Harmony is the name of our channel. Special thanks to Brian Pridmore for his help with production and equipment. www.pridmoria.com.
You know, the bumblebee, you know, the whole like
bumblebee.
chicken nugget.
It's so dumb. I'm a delight.
I am love.